As Aaron said, we have a guest speaker this morning. Not really a guest. He's a guest speaker, but he's one of our own, Jeremiah Gonda. Most of you guys know him. But I did want to say this before I turn it over to him, that I've been feeling for a while. I'm excited because I've been feeling for a while like he was supposed to speak. I love his passion. But I want to say this. We all bring a different, you know, we all bring different stuff. We all bring different challenges. Jeremiah and Laura have been in ministry off and on in various ways for a number of years, simultaneously producing a huge family while they were doing all that. We all know that the scripture calls us to walk by faith, but I want to say that they have been walking by faith for years and years and years now. Now, they don't always get it right. No one does. But they've been doing it, and they've been consistently doing it. And so I want you to receive this morning from someone who I know has been really trying for, you know, a couple decades to walk by faith and just to follow God. And sometimes that's strange. So it's going to be good. I want to commend them to you. And Jared, come on up.
Thank you. Thanks, Tony. That was an awesome introduction. Very, very accurate. there was a key word in that, try for the last couple of decades, which actually really plays into what I want us to get into today, which I'm very excited, perseverance. So perseverance, you know, why would I go with this? And I think it's pretty obvious, you know, father of 9 children and a very big family. But specifically, I want to hone in on something. So I believe the last year and a half, has it been that long, sweetie? Year and a half, we've been trucking our way over here. And so we live in Haines City. If you don't know where that is, I'm not surprised you don't know where that is. But it's Central Florida, so it's about an hour and a half, hour 40 minutes for us, so it's quite an ordeal. And we do it not just Sunday, we do it all week long. Quite a trip. But we started this journey because we knew, we were excited, the Lord called us back to Melbourne. The Lord gave Laura a word at a conference, and we knew, at first I was actually hesitant because I was teaching at a private school in Winter Haven, doing really well there. I was teaching electives, I was doing photography, film, all the stuff I love to do. And she got this word, and I knew in my heart, I was like, oh no, that is from the Lord, isn't it? And nothing against Melbourne, we love Melbourne. I just knew the logistics, oh my gosh, everything we have to go through to do this. Little did I know that it would be this type of journey. And so we said yes, and through that process, it wasn't just Melbourne. The Lord was bringing us to Church on the Rock, which was so exciting for us. Yeah, absolutely. So exciting. Because we have a long history. You know, we've been in and out of here in many different ways and involved in many different ways. And this church is home to us. And Oma and Opa are, you know, parents to Laura and I and grandparents to our kids, and so huge honor. We were excited when we heard that, and so that's important because that plays into what we're going to talk about. So we felt like we had that target, that goal was set, but no understanding of the process and the journey. So I think we went through, I don't know, was it a week of doing this? 2 weeks? And we were all gung-ho, and then all of a sudden we're like, what are we doing? This is insane. Because it's like, you know, you try to get all the kids into the van, and I feel like Noah with the ark, and I got the doors open, except, you know, how God brought the animals to Noah with us. When it's, hey, guys, time to get in the van. They all disperse, and you can't find them, and you're just running after them to get them into the van. So it really is like a biblical journey every time we try to get over here. It's amazing we even get here somewhat on time, if on time at all. But we said to ourselves, what are we doing? What are we doing? And the Lord spoke to us in a time of prayer in the morning, I am strengthening your hind feet, your hind legs, so that you will be able to run in the future. So then we knew, okay, we got to gear ourselves up. What does that mean? And then Brian gave us a word somewhere around that time as well, and he just reminded me, which I'm thankful he did. He told us, God wants you to dig your heels in. That was going to be crucial. Wow, was that crucial. That was so important, that process of digging our heels in, because we had a promise, we had a word, we had the hope, we had all the ingredients we needed to overcome and to succeed, because God is so good, he gave it to us, and we could dig ourselves in. And that's just an example, a story from our personal lives, is what we're doing back and forth. But it plays into what we're going to talk about. That's why, for me, perseverance is huge, because I want it in my life, because I know how much I lack it, and I know how much I need it. And so it's been an awesome opportunity for me just to dive into the Word and for the Lord to reveal more and more about perseverance. So that's what I want to share with you today. And I actually want to highlight a bit of what Tony taught last week. I'm going to pull specifically from, and as we're going through, you're going to notice a lot of scriptures, and it's just because we can't do this idea of perseverance, we can't do it without what God has given us in the Word. I want that to be the theme, that this is a God thing. Perseverance, I think, a lot with humans, we can kind of rise up and say, yeah, I'm going to persevere, I'm going to endure, I've got the strength, the resilience to do that, and I don't want us to start today with that mindset. This needs to be a God-given gift to us today with perseverance. And so therefore, I'm going to be pulling from a lot of scriptures. The references are there, so I encourage you just to take them, read them, and you won't be able to digest it all at once, but it's something you'll be able to go home and, because perseverance is a lifelong thing, right? So we're going to need it. Okay, amen. So I want to highlight 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 through 21. Tony shared with us as part of what he was talking about, which really ties in today. For this finds favor. What finds favor? It's the context of submitting to all types of authority, but even ungodly authority, submitting and bearing under that, right? So that's the context, and it will go back into that. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. So several things before we move on that I just want our attention to be drawn to. Patiently enduring. So you're going to hear me talk about endurance, perseverance, steadfastness. Just know it's the same word. We could do the background study and all that. We're not going to do it. It's the same word. And so you'll hear me saying that interchangeably in context of what the scripture is saying. There's some variation. I like perseverance because something in me gives me this attitude. I think of perseverance as this persistent bravery. Endurance is great. I think of a runner running. But perseverance does something in me. It starts to set something off, and it starts speaking my language. That's why I like it. But it's all the same word. Persevering is, and so when you are demonstrating perseverance in trials, tribulations, all these kinds of things, it's a way that immediately finds favor with the Lord, the evident delight of God over your life. When you step up to the plate and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to say yes to this. I may not understand it. You've given me a word. You've given me a promise, and I'm ready for this test. And that's really what it is. It's the testing of our faith. And so that's the exciting part. I want us to think of it this way. The testing of our faith is presented to us. It's not so random as we may think when these things start happening in life. There's a divine orchestration taking place that God wants us to pay attention to and to step up to it and say, yes, Lord, and to grab hold of it, okay? So it is a test. Testing of our faith. All right. Now, this is different than patience in the sense that patience is self-restraint, being able to infuse kindness in that self-restraint. It's a bit different than that type of patience. This is that fight or flight response when a challenge comes, to be able to stand right up and say, Lord, I'm going to do it. Okay. Now, perseverance, let's look at it in the process of faith. It's meant to be activated by the testing of your faith. It's really important. Perseverance is going to come when the test comes if we say yes to it. It's incredibly crucial when we're contending for something through prayer, okay? So the testing of our faith is going to produce perseverance if we allow the Lord to work that process. It's testing our metal, the stuff you're made of. And this is something that God wants to expand in us, and he wants it to grow. So let's look at James chapter 1. Now, I'm really just going to highlight two verses from that chapter, but the whole chapter is really important, and I encourage you to go to it. That's why I'm drawing attention to the chapter. But we're going to start with James chapter 1, 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing, here it is again, the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So here it is, various trials, tribulations, the testing of our faith is being presented to us, but it has a process, and we have to pay attention to the whole entire process in order to receive the crown. And that's what we're going to talk about. All right, so without testing, we have no endurance. Without those trials, we have no strength and perseverance in life. So a life lived without resistance is a life that's lacking. This is what this scripture is saying. If we don't let these tests produce in us a perseverance, then we're lacking in these areas. So now we can kind of look at these tests and say, oh, what is God trying to do here? What's taking place that I need to pay attention to, and seize it as an opportunity of blessing and God's divine way of producing something in me? That's really key. If we can have that attitude, as a matter of fact, we'll see Scripture encourages us to do it with joy, to do it with pride, to exalt in our tribulations. Where does that even come from when you read that? I know it's easy to read it and say, well, it's Scripture. Obviously, we can't argue with Scripture. But it's hard for it to set in. It's hard for it to feel the truth of that. What does it mean to be filled with joy and rejoicing when this stuff happens? And I like to see a picture. I like to visualize things. And I'm a sci-fi guy, so I like science fiction. But I saw this picture of, you know, the bridge of a starship, like Star Trek or whatever. You got the captain, let's say that's Jesus, captain of the hosts, and you've got his archangels at their consoles. And they're basically queuing everything up for the day-to-day events of believers. In this case, we're going to pick Fed because I love Fed, and I think he'll be a good illustration for this. So they're queuing up Fed's daily events. And Gabriel, you write code, so Gabriel's there, he's coding, getting everything ready to initiate the sequence for Fed, working off, you know, the agenda that the Lord has given him, the captain. And the captain says, Gabriel, did you load today's agenda for Fed? And Gabriel says, yes, sir, I'm almost finished. He says, Gabriel, the updated agenda. And Gabriel's like, the updated agenda. And then an angel runs over quickly, has the updated. And it takes it from level 5, you know, trials and tribulations, or level 1 to level 5. The Lord's smiling. He's wringing his hands. He's like, this is going to be good. And Gabriel's like, you just went from level 1 to level 5. And Fed is down on earth, all pumped and excited as this stuff starts to hit the fan, if you will. Because he recognizes, and instead of seeing it as, why is all this going wrong? What's wrong in my life? Complaining, murmuring, he sees it, and he's tipped off in the spirit by the wisdom of God to recognize, this is the Lord testing me. This is the Lord giving me a challenge because he delights in me. And if I can have the eyes to see, I can enter into something that was going to be a level 1 but is now a level 5, and Fed's ready to go. He's pumped. It's not to say he's going to be perfect at it. None of us will be. But there's an attitude change that goes from all these horrible things happening to me, horrible events, why me, to what am I seeing here? What's transpiring? Oh, I see what's happening. This is a test, the testing of my faith to see what I'm made of, correct? So very important. So resistance and adversity now are gifts given to us to strengthen our faith, to develop that endurance. Think of a pearl in an oyster, right? That whole concept is this beautiful example that the Lord gives us in natural order of exactly what's happening in the spirit with our lives. We know it. We know it very well. The irritant in the oyster creates this process where the oyster has to inject these fluids to build it up, to calcify it, so in the end, you have this beautiful pearl. Without that little, and you know that little irritant, they say mostly is like a parasite or something. It's not even, we think of the grain of sand, but it's actually like a parasite, which I think feels a lot more like what these trials feel like a parasite or some kind of. So it comes in, but it's an opportunity for something beautiful to take place. But remember also the perseverance. Though I want to show you, though perseverance has to come from the Lord, it is a process that when he gives it and deposits it, it works and flows through us, and it's our way to partner with the Lord in the process, our perseverance. But remember, I really want to draw a distinction between human perseverance and godly perseverance. That's really critical and important. As humans, we all have a degree of ability, a physicality that allows us to do things in life, to endure things that put stress on our bodies, pressures of life, different things that we have a capacity, okay? And that capacity is very varied depending on our makeup, our genes, our fitness, our condition, all of that. And I'm not talking about, we can draw pictures from that. But thank God that that's not a base for perseverance that we're being taught here in the scripture. You can come in with none of that on the earthly side of the spectrum, okay? You can be completely off the spectrum in terms of human ability and strength and perseverance, and God will give you the type of perseverance that will produce eternal results, okay? That excites me. That makes me happy. That's super exciting to me that we all have access to this, not predetermined by some kind of physical, so perseverance, I know it's easy to kind of like grit and say, I can do this, but it's an, I can do this in Christ. That's important. All right, so tribulation produces perseverance. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations. Exalt in our tribulations. Taking pride, a godly pride, that in confidence God has given us this ability, this opportunity, that I could go through this transformative process, that without it I wouldn't have had this opportunity, right? I wouldn't have had this ability to be strengthened. So we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. So look at this progression here. Tribulation starts building. It activates perseverance, proven character. It starts to change us. And then it activates hope, and hope does not disappoint, because hope, we were singing about it today, it's a concrete pledge of the very thing we are exercising our faith for. Hope brings confidence and assurance that the fruit of our faith will manifest. Perseverance needs hope in order to thrive and grow stronger. Perseverance needs a goal to work toward. So perseverance just, it doesn't do well if it doesn't have a target, an aim, a goal. What's the word that the Lord has given you? What's the command that you have? What are you focused on? What do you know that the Lord is focused on and doing in you? You need that. Perseverance will be fueled by that. But if you can't see it, if you lack vision, then perseverance it's brutal. It's hard, right? It's hard to try to every day do something and not know why you're doing it, and not know, and that's not the way the Lord wants us to live. We talk about blind faith, but God wants to give us clear direction so that we can focus. It doesn't mean we're always going to know the whole picture. We won't. We won't know all of it, of course not. But God will give us what we need to keep us on that pathway of perseverance, okay? Being changed from day to day, getting stronger, okay? We'll have to remind ourselves. We'll have to remove some distractions sometimes. We'll have to be honest, look in the mirror and say, ooh, today, yikes. And that's all right. That's part of the process. We can't let that completely derail us from what we were called to do. It doesn't completely reset it where we have to say, now I have to start all over again. We have not been perfect about getting here for the last year and a half. But here we are today, right? Amen. We're doing it. We're getting stronger and we're getting closer to being able to move here. And that's part of the process. We have to understand that. We can't lose sight of that. Because the enemy is going to try and disrupt your life and bring shame and condemnation that you don't have what it takes. That you don't have the metal. The stuff you're made of isn't adequate for the challenges God's given you. God wouldn't have allowed those challenges if he didn't have a sure, concrete way to get you through the process. He does. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It's not. But he has a process and a plan. If we yield to it, good things are going to come. Amen? Amen. So let's move on here and talk about not losing heart. Let's talk about having a bit more of an understanding of what God is doing so that can continue to fuel our perseverance. Listen to Galatians 6:9 says, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. There it is. Sure promise, right? Okay. God knows what type of faith we need in our lives to produce the results and to see the fruit of our prayers. He knows it. He knows what type of faith. Look at this. Matthew 17, I love this. Verse 19 through 20. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. So we've heard this a lot, and you guys are well-versed in this. And you probably have heard this take on it many times. But it's not so much a slap in the face when he says the littleness of your faith. It's your undeveloped faith, right? He's showing them, look, your faith is undeveloped, but there's a process. Because I used to read that as a teenager when I first got saved, and it didn't make sense. You're saying the littleness of their faith, then you draw attention to something that's really small. How does that work? And what he's talking about is you're actually in a good place, the littleness of your faith. Just come to terms with it. It's a great place to start. But guess what? That seed has an arc, and it has a journey of growth that can make it a powerful force to do impossible things. That's awesome. That's Jesus being real. That's what we need that in this process. That's what we need to be willing to do. Lord, lay it out how I need to hear it, how I need to hear it, not how I think I should hear it. So if my faith is like this, let me know. But hey, that's a starting point. Praise God. At least I didn't have no faith. He could have said, you had no faith. You guys have no faith. That would be rough. Littleness, we can work with that. We got tiny little muscles. Let's develop them, right? Amen. Okay. So that's exciting. Littleness of your faith. Now remember, let me read this. Romans 12:3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. That's beautiful. God has given each of us faith, and we all are different places in our life with how that faith is developed, correct? But that faith is intended to be developed. It needs to be developed. It needs certain obstacles and challenges and things set in place in order for faith to be engaged and activated and stronger. Conquer here, I fell here, I get back up, I keep doing the process because God's given me a process and I'm not going to falter from it because it's not human strength. It's just God telling me that this is the pathway he has for me and I can do it. So my faith starts small, it ends big. My faith gets stronger. But it's the measure that he's given me. It's not according to my ability, my talents, my skills, my personality, my success. All of those things are great. But that's not what we're talking about when we talk about this. We're talking about the goodness of God. giving incredible opportunities and gifts to his people because he wants to expand us and grow us, and he wants us to see the big picture. So Jesus says this to him, look, the type of faith you need for this situation in that same passage comes by prayer and fasting. So let's look at that real quick. So fasting, obviously, we're all familiar with that. Prayer, we're familiar with it. But Jesus says, look, you can actually self-impose obstacles, tests, trials in your life. You can build them into your life. I own a self-defense gym, as a lot of you know that. It's Krav Maga, it's Israeli hand-to-hand combat. And I teach the students there self-defense principles. Things to know if things ever go bad in your life. Somebody attacks you, somebody tries to harm you, somebody tries to threaten you, kill you, whatever. What can you do physically to give yourself an advantage to neutralize the threat and get out of that situation? We teach all the time, and my students are getting stronger, 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 more proficient, more capable. But one thing, and I think they'll agree, one thing that really, really, really tests their mettle are our stress drills. Our stress drills, take the context, I can teach them hours and hours and hours, and they could recite it and say, yeah, I know that. And the moment I put stress on them, I do a scenario. And I love creating scenarios. This came from a scenario by my student, Hawken, over there. From a stress drill. We were doing a stress drill where they had two attackers coming at them at once. So immediately, just think about that. Even though we're all friends, we're all family, right? The moment you create a scenario and you ask people to role play, they very easily fall into that when it has to do with, oh, I've got to defend myself, I've got to defend myself, fight or flight, right? So I was holding a shield, and the object was for Hawken to break a headlock, which he did successfully. He's a beast, he's a monster. So he had someone grab him in a headlock, he had to break that headlock and do all the right techniques. The thing is it's not, let me teach you this, now you demonstrate it. It's stress, loud music, it's okay, go, and now people role play and they get intimidating. They grab them, hey, what, you know, and you start doing the whole, and you'd be amazed at how quickly you enter into that. And so Hawkins wrapped up in his headlock. I'm coming with a shield as a second attacker, and I just keep bumping him with this pad. It's soft, but it's meant to create stress. You got someone in your face as someone's choking you, and now you got this guy doing this number, hitting you in the face with this pad. So he has to break that hold, and now he has to address the threat in front of him. And he did it very well. He started kneeing, except I tell him knee for the groin, excuse me, but it's one of our target areas because it's soft tissue and it creates a lot of damage. And you can take someone very small and put someone very big on the ground very quickly. And so the knees are meant to be for the groin, and Hawken has very long legs, and so I had the shield here, and all of a sudden I see this knee like flying, and it hit me right in the shoulder. I can't tell, I acted, Hawken, he didn't even know, I acted like it didn't hurt, because I had to keep teaching the class. I was like, good job, Hawken, and meanwhile, I'm in so much throbbing pain because of this, and I go home, I was like, oh, sweetie, I think I got hurt pretty bad tonight. Next day, I wake up, I'm like, yeah, I don't know what happened there, but something happened there, but Let's go back to the point. The point is the stress drill, right? The stress drill, now they don't do the technique perfectly. It's hilarious. The moment you see stress like that, knees, like, okay, he can knee someone in the face, that's great, but that's not what he was supposed to do. He's supposed to aim for the groin, and he didn't because of the stress. It's not perfect. The stress creates this conflict that has new challenges, new obstacles. Jesus says this, dial in prayer and fasting. Now, why would he say prayer? Why would I say that's a challenge? Let's be honest. Prayer is a challenge. Okay, I know you may have this beautiful little place with the Lord, which I hope we all do. I love prayer. And we should be having those times with the Lord of rest, intimacy. But is it like that every time we go into prayer with the Lord? Am I the only one? Ooh. No, it's not. It's a challenge. And you know why? It's because the Lord's like, all right, let's see what we got today. Oh, he wants to pray. Okay, she wants to pray. Yeah, let's pray. Let's make it a little bit more difficult than it was yesterday. He loves that because it's building in us this perseverance. It's a self-inflicted, self-imposed way that we can start to run some of these drills. We can run some stress drills in our life. Is that conflict that Hawken was in, is that like what he would face out on the street? Only to a very small degree, right? We're not enemies. We're not really trying to hurt them. We're not trying to kill them. but it helps him go from zero to the point out in the street of 100 of being attacked by two men or whatever, two attackers, right? It gives him some kind of feedback in between there that says, you know what? I think I can do this. I understand a little bit of this. And Jesus is saying, you can understand a little more of the things coming down the pipeline if you build in prayer and fasting. That helps me with fasting, because fasting was always so mystical. It's like, why do we fast? Oh, fast for a breakthrough. We fast because it's a really surefire way to start building faith in me. Because what wasn't there is now there. I have to fast food today? Well, what's the goal? The goal is perseverance. The goal is ultimately honoring and loving the Lord. Yes, but fasting is starting to produce something in me, right? That's really important. I took a little bit more time on that than I wanted. Okay, but let's move on. So let's look at this process a little more about perseverance and why it's so important. So faith is not just a part of the process. Okay, when we're praying and asking the Lord to speak to us, faith isn't just a part of that. It's the actual DNA, okay? It's the DNA of the process. It's the starting point. It's the seed of the thing which we are hoping for. Let's go, you know, obviously in nature, the seed, and it has fruit. Faith is that process, right? That irritant in that oyster produces the pearl. That pearl is still containing that, whatever was the remnant of that, right? It's all part of the same deal. Dormant faith, faith without perseverance, right? James in chapter 2, we won't go there, but chapter 2, verse 14 talks about faith without works is dead, right? It's talking about doing things and all that, but this is very applicable to what we're talking about. Our faith's not going to grow in a vacuum. It needs the testing. It needs the hardships. It needs this work or it's going to be dormant. And dormant faith is just not useful. It isn't. And it's not something that's going to gain favor from the Lord. So perseverance now, when tribulation comes, it's activating faith to give an opportunity for perseverance. Okay? This perseverance is important. It's the heart-sick longing and diligent seeking of God through the process. Remember I talked about that persistent bravery? That's perseverance. In this, couched in this, that is a longing and a diligent seeking for God through the process, like Jacob wrestled with the Lord, right? I'm not going to let go of you, Lord. I don't know what you're doing right now. It doesn't make sense to me, but I choose to find you in this situation. That's so vital to true perseverance. And that's the perseverance that we all have access to. No matter how small, no matter how big, what demographic, who we are, gender, whatever, we all have access to that. So perseverance is this external, I like to think of it, external elemental force being applied to the seed of faith, okay? To break it out of its dormancy, right? It creates a chain reaction that causes faith to come alive and manifest into fruit, okay? This type of perseverance, as we've already said, is given by God alone. It's beyond our ability to do it. God allows and even introduces the right amount of resistance and pressure. This may be hard to understand, but it's true. He longs to do that. Remember that picture of the captain on the bridge of the starship? And he's like, let's take it from level 1 to level 5. And Fed's down there because Fed's tuned in with the Lord. And it's a process that the Lord loves and delights in. You would think, how can that be? And which is why he asks us to delight and rejoice in it, right? So God allows it. He even introduces the right amount of resistance according to our ability and the measure of our faith, correct? This sets the stage for perseverance. This is where the testing of our faith begins and where we must ask for perseverance. We must center our hearts in the Lord and ask him for his provision through that process. It can't be on our own strength. James 1:5, I love this because this ties in what we're saying here. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach, and he will. It will be given to him. So, The Lord's saying, look, I know this process is difficult, tricky, hard. Just ask me what you need through it. How many of us maybe don't think of it that way? We're like, Lord, take this thing away. Remove this. Do this. Make it stop, God. I can't take anymore. We've already established you can take more. Okay? You can. You can do a lot more than you think you can. I say that to my students all the time. I don't want to keep going back to that, but there's such beautiful examples. For instance, doing conditioning, I like a lot of core work, so stuff like where they have to get on the ground, they have to hold their legs, you remember that, for like 6-8 inches. Or planks, you know what a plank is, right? You get down and do a plank. If you don't know, I'll just show it. But you know, if you're not sure what a plank is, this, right? A lot of fun. The other one I love is we have walls, and I say there are invisible, transparent benches all along the walls. So we'll make them sit against the wall like this, you know, and we'll see how long they can do it. I love doing that. It's kind of torturous, but. But I always tell them, you can do a lot more than you think you can. Because I see it on their face the moment they're ready to give up. You see it, it's so clear. Oh, there's just no way. There's no, I can't do 30 seconds. I'll change the time sometimes. It'll be set for a minute. And I'll say, oh, then I'll fumble. Oh, I screwed it up. Oh, 30 seconds left. And they were so engaged on that minute marker when they see it, time out. They think I'm done. I've succeeded. I kick it 30 seconds longer and they're looking at me like, what have you done? You know, there's no way this is impossible. And they can do it. And you know what? They do it for another 30 seconds. And they get it done. And if I threw another 30 seconds on there, they could do it. But we limit ourselves by creating this false ceiling that gives us security and just kind of aids this dormant faith mentality, right? We don't want a dormant faith, guys. We want a faith that's alive, that's filled with strength, that's filled with God-given ability. Remember, not human ability. If you could do that in human ability, what can we do in the spirit that we're not tapping into? Because of false ceilings, fake ceilings, because of places in our life where it starts to kick in, oh, I've had enough, I can't do this. I can't run another mile, I can't do this, right? And it's not true. We can do so much more than we think we can. So that's important, but we have to ask the Lord for wisdom, and this is why. We want to see his plan through this. We want to see, what are you doing, Lord? Help me get on the page as much as I can. I can't know it all. You're the author, the finisher of my faith. But I surely can know what I need in this moment to get me through this, correct? The Father desires to reveal his glory to and through us during this process. This is where hope is revealed. When he starts to show us, he starts to drop those nuggets. When he told Laura and I'm strengthening your hind legs so you can run later on. That was my hope. Oh, that's what you're doing. And it's, some days it's easier to hear that. Other days, like, you're strengthening my hind legs. Oh my gosh. So, but that's not the point. The point is, it is the hope that God has placed in my heart. It's a process that has to take place, right? Amen. Colossians 1:27. Oh, I'm sorry. First, let's go to 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. Look at that. There it is. Keep on rejoicing. What are you talking about, Peter? So that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exaltation. Hint, hint. Keep on pressing in so that when you see the finished product, you'll be part of that process and you'll have a greater understanding when you see it. You won't be completely blown away, surprised, although we all will, but you'll understand, oh, that's why the Lord was doing that. Wow, praise God, look at that. And I don't think we'll ever fully understand that this side of eternity, but he can give us glimpses, right? To fuel us, to keep us moving forward, so that we don't give up. That's so key. So don't be surprised by this stuff when it starts happening. Look at it, grab a hold of it, seize it, and say, God, I don't think I can do this. But clearly, you have some information that's beyond my comprehension right now because you set this into motion. Let's do it. Let's get it done. Here I am, Lord. It's not gonna be perfect. I can tell you right now, it's not gonna be perfect, but let's do it. And God is so good about that. That's all we need to do. He says, yeah, you've got littleness of faith. Let's work with it. Let's use it. Awesome. Okay. Almost there, guys. So this mindset we need to have needs to be a godly mindset. It's the only thing that can fuel it. But I've got hope and encouragement for you. We have a godly mindset. It's the mind of Christ. Let's read this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 through 16. But just, actually, let me read 16 first. I want to bring attention to 16 and then backtrack. So let's read 16 first because I feel like it's so powerful at the end there. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Small little sentence there with big implications. Now let's go back and read it all the way up to that. So starting with verse 9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of a man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. We can know, guys, that's the point. We can know. It's not just this blind, oh, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. We can know to a degree, however the Lord wants to show us. It's right here. So, verse 13, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Which leads us to some of our final thoughts here. Jesus is the premier example of perseverance. We cannot even talk, entertain the idea of perseverance without looking to the example of Jesus that he set to us. And he has set an example for us to see. Let's focus our attention on that right now because we need that. So Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, beautiful, beautiful demonstration of this. We all know it. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, here it is again, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We could have just read that and been done with it. That so beautifully sums up everything that we're talking about. He is our example. Where does perseverance come from? Jesus. He did it. Son of God, Son of Man, right? He did it in a man's body. He carried it out. He said, it can be done, it will be done, and it shall be done through you as well. But he did it with joy. Why? He had that goal. He had that hope. It was us, right? He endured it. I can do this, Father. In the garden, that's what he was saying. Father, just let's put me on the same page with you here. Okay, this is the test. All right, Father. If there's a way, but I want what you want for me. He did that in a very real way. Exactly what we go through every day. The biggest test and challenge, something we could never fully understand, faced before him, and he said, Lord, let's do this. He took the challenge. He said, Father, your will, not mine. He got on the same page with the Lord, and he saw the joy, and that's what the Lord gave him to get through that trial. He gave him a picture of us, his bride. And so he did it with rejoicing, and he endured it, correct? Then he says, now that's your example. Don't grow weary. Don't lose heart. The Father wants to give you a clear picture, whether it's a small little trial of just waking up in the morning, right? Like, oh, the coffee. It's not, the timer's not set. I forgot to do it. I gotta go do that myself now. or whether it's something very serious, a sickness, an illness, a disease, right? I don't want to make light of any of that. But it's all the same process of saying yes to the Lord. Yes, Lord. This wouldn't be in front of me right now if you didn't know that this was going to work. Okay. So, Jesus' example, right? He did it, so we can do it. Let's look at James. Back to James, the other verse I wanted to highlight, chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. I love this one. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Blessed is the man who, when presented with level 5 tribulations and challenges, says, yes, Lord, I'll do it. And he's proved through that process. Did it say, he who is proved and receives an A plus 100%? No. He who is proved, tempered, right? It's going to produce different results in all of us. But as long as we say yes, and we keep getting up, and we trust the Lord, that crown of life is waiting for us, right? He promises it to us, and it will prove a character. It will prove character traits in us and ultimately prove us as God's vessels of honor. I want that crown of life.
Amen.
And I want to be able to see all these things in my life as opportunities that build into that, that all work together for that crown of life. I want to start changing my perspective, Lord, with this.
Amen.
To stop being so like dismayed and discouraged and feel defeated and get wrapped up in myself, and I want to start seeing, what's the joy in this? What do you have in this? It's there. My faith is little, and that's what we can say, right? My faith is little, God.
Amen.
Oh, but you can make it strong. You can develop it. So, perseverance ultimately is all about transformation, correct? The fruit produced through this transformative process brings glory to him as the master vine dresser. He, therefore, has vested interest in this process, and his approach is very intentional. Asking for wisdom during the testing of our faith will open the doors that we need to see those glimpses, correct? Those places, that information, the divine information that we need just to engage us to say, okay, I can do it. I felt like I was failing, but you know what? Give me a little bit of an open door. Give me a little bit of the target, Lord. Okay, I got it. I'm locked on. We could see the Father's bigger picture that way. It will bring clarity to hope. And remember, perseverance needs hope. If perseverance has no hope, forget it. It's limited. So we need that hope. And this is what we focus on in the Spirit, through prayer, through fasting, okay? Whatever this hope is that the Lord's putting in your life or wherever you're at in life. The Father's goal is to yield the best possible outcome for us and his kingdom. It isn't that it's not just about us. It isn't just about us. It is about us and his kingdom being the bride prepared and adorned for her husband, Jesus, right? He wants us to be perfect and complete. So going back to James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Consider it all joy. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, perseverance, steadfastness, consistency, reliability, correct? Character. Let that endurance have its perfect result. Its perfect result. Even when I fail, yep, even when you fail, you get right back up. It's still going to be a perfect result because God is so gracious and God is so good.
Amen.
He loves us. So that you may be perfect and complete and lack nothing. That you may lack nothing. And then that's the end of it, isn't it? It's ultimately this transformative process is what is actually taking place in us concerning our eternal destiny as the fruit, the joy set before Jesus, as the fruit of his perseverance. Right? Do you think Jesus set out for a test that he wasn't going to accomplish and that he wasn't going to receive the crown of life for? You and I are that reward. Of his perseverance. So next time you say you can't persevere, try saying, Jesus, you can't persevere. It doesn't work, does it? We can't say that. So we can't say that about ourselves because we're part of that process. We are so ingrained in that process. You can't separate the two. You can't. So let's stop. And the last verse I'm going to leave you with today. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. Amen.